Lord Father, we thank you for those words through Mashiach Yahushua. Sharing today is going to be entitled Following Leads to Honor and the Servant Nebuchadnezzar. This was done by Spurgeon on his calendar, but I thought this is very good. I'm going to read a little something to you. And this is something we should take heed to. The highest service is imitation. If I would be Christ's servant, I must be his follower. To do as Yahushua did in the surest way of bringing honor to his name, let me mind this every day. If I imitate Yahushua, I shall have his company. If I am like him, I shall be with him. In due time, he will take me to dwell with him above. If meanwhile I have striven to follow him here below. After he suffered, our Lord came to his throne. And so, even so, after we have suffered a while with him here below, we shall arrive in glory. The issue of our Lord's life shall be the issue of ours. If we are with him in his humiliation, we shall be with him in his glory. Come, my soul, pluck up courage and put down thy feet in the blood-marked footprints which thy Lord has left thee. Let me not fail to note that the Father will honor those who follow his Son. If he sees me true to Yahushua, he will put marks of favor and honor upon me for his Son's sake. No honor can be like this. Princes and emperors bestow the mere shadows of honor. The substance of glory comes from the Father. Wherefore, my soul, cling thou to thy Lord Yahushua more closer than ever. I thought, how life is so simple. Imitate Christ Yahushua. Imitate Christ Yahushua. And you will get the favor of Yahweh. The supernatural world that we do not see, the unseen world, will become relevant in our lives. So, we're going to read, begin with an unlikely servant, but very apparent today. We know, if you look up the phrase, my servant, in scanning through the Old and New Covenants, you'll see my servant Abraham, my servant Jacob, or Jacob, my servant Moses, my servant David, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar.
Wow,
you know, that's interesting. And it's three times it's talking about my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Now, let's see how he comes in. And so we have to look at things a little bit differently, because according to our prejudice, we're going to look at him as an enemy, and we're going to look at Israel as a friend. When actually, in a time frame, Israel is an enemy, and the one who is actually worshiping or serving Yahweh is a heathen, an uncircumcised individual called Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to document that. So, it looks like Nebuchadnezzar was the good guy who destroyed Jerusalem, burned the house, burned the temple. Alright?
Took the utensils.
But he's Yahweh's servant. And we're going to see that really the bad guys was the people occupying Jerusalem. They were the evil ones. The warning. So, we're going to see this. Let's start off with Deuteronomy 9, 1 through 5. So we can look at this also in our day in life, that we see a church and a steeple, and we see European countries who say we're Christian nations, when at all they could be just the opposite. A good illustration is that too. I started thinking about it. When Yahushua was brought before Pilate, he said, let him go. And Herod, let him go. Who crucified Yahushua?
First.
The church. The church did.
Would you say 9 what?
Yeah, 9 verse 1 through 5. So you're like, well, that happened then. It's not happening today. Well, then we've got to keep our eyes open. Hear, O Israel, thou art passing today over the Jordan to go in to depossess nations greater and stronger than thou, cities great and fortified in the heavens, a people tall and great, the sons of Anakim, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard, saying, who can stand before the sons of Anak? So then thou must consider today that Yahweh thy Elohim He it is that is passing over before thee as a consuming fire. He will destroy thee, and he will cause thee to bow down before thee. You will call them to bow down before thee, so shalt thou depossess them and destroy them speedily, as Yahweh has spoken unto thee. Do not speak in thy heart when Yahweh thy Elohim cast them out from before thee, saying, for mine own righteousness hath Yahweh brought me in to possess this land, whereas it is for the lawlessness of these nations that Yahweh is depossessing them from before thee. Not for thine own righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thy own heart, art thou going in to possess this land, but for the lawlessness of these nations, is Yahweh thy Elohim driving them out before thee, and that he may establish the word which Yahweh swore unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. So, they're being driven out because of their lawlessness. And we go to Leviticus 18. We're going to map through this. Leviticus 18:1-3. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do. And after the things, after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I am bringing you in, shall you not do, and in their statutes shall you not walk. Here it is. Just don't do this. Now we go to 26 or 30. Ye therefore shall observe my statutes and my regulations, and have nothing to do with any of these abominations, whether the homeborn or the sojourner that sojourneth in your midst. For all these abominations have the men of the land done who were before you, and so the land hath become unclean. So shall the land not vomit you through you making it unclean, as it vomit the nation in which was before you. What a great figure. The land is vomiting them out. And I'm looking at, right now, Iran. I think they've had a drought for 6 years, and I hope it continues. Islam is wicked. I hope the land vomits them out. It doesn't give them the crops. For whosoever shall have anything to do with any of these abominations, the person who have shall be cut off out of the midst of their people. Therefore shall ye keep my charge, so that ye may have nothing to do with any of the abominable statutes which have been had to do before you. You shall not make yourself unclean thereby. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. So he's not showing favoritism. You must meet these standards, and we'll get along great. If you do not make these standards, I'm going to vomit you out. Well, you're my children. Yes, you are my children, but you're going to be vomited out just like the people before you. And we're going to see that's actually what happens.
Eviction notice.
Now we go, let's go to 2 Kings 17. And here's the 10 tribes. So to go back into history, David started the kingdom, Solomon had it, then it got divided. 10 tribes went north, and Benjamin and Judah were south. All right, so we call the 10 tribes Israel, and the lower two is Judah. So we're going to see the 10 tribes fail 134 years before Judah fell, or Jerusalem fell. And so that's 2 Kings 2:17.
2:17?
No, 17. Sorry. 2 Kings 17.
17:17.
No, verse 7 through 9. 17.
7 through 9.
7 through 9. And above it, there's a little note, Rotterdam puts, a review of the causes leading to Israel's downfall. And thus it came to pass that Israel, or those are the 10 tribes, sinned against Yahweh their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yea, they did reverence to other gods. And so here's why I purged the people who were before you, and now I'm going to have to purge you. And walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had depossessed from before the sons of Israel, and in the statutes of the king of Israel, which they had made. And the sons of Israel did secretly things which were not right against Yahweh, their Elohim, and built for themselves high places in their cities, from the watchman's tower to the fortified city. And, you know, it goes on and on of just the wickedness that Yahweh's children, the sons of Abraham, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have been gone now. And so they're taken off, they're scattered. And it was done by Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria, and they put them, I think a lot of times it went into Persia and everything else, because Assyria, I think at that time was run, or had overcome Persia. And this is probably where the families of Mordecai and Esther and people like that were part of this dispersion. So now they're being raised in a foreign country. Now we go to Judah, 2 Kings 21, chapter 21.
I don't know.
You 2 Kings 21. This is Manasseh. Yeah, so we heard about Manasseh, and that was the grandfather of Josiah, which is Josiah is a very good king. But Manasseh, with the people's participation. So when Moses made the calf to please the people.
Aaron.
He said, you gave him the reins. And that's the same way of today in many churches. Paul said, if I was going to be the servant of men, I could not be the servant of Christ. That's in Galatians. So pastors have to decide, if they're hired especially, they have to decide that their objective is to fill this building up and get the most tithes possible. It's not to teach the word, it's to fill this place up and become a prosperous church where we can be on TV and everything else. And secondary is the word. And if the word interferes with that first mission, don't do it. So if the word's going to interfere, don't do it. And so a pastor who is hired has to realize that this is who you are. You're there to present a menu that people want.
Yeah.
And so if I have a restaurant, I'm going to feed what the people want. If they want ice cream, if they want pie, if they want popcorn and pop, that's what they're going to get. All right, because my job is to make money. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I give the public what they want, but when you get into church, Christianity, same with Israel, we're going to see the history of this. You know, Aaron would have been a lot more popular than Moses. But we're going to see the same habit, so we have to apply this. Why we're doing this historically is today. How does it apply to us today? Let's see, where was I? Yeah, Judah 21. Verse 9, let's see here, 21.
2 Kings 21, verse 9.
Yeah, verse 9 through 12. But they hearken not, and let's see here. But they hearken not. And what's his name?
Manasseh.
I got blocked on that.
Not Manasseh. It's Manasseh.
Manasseh. They hearkened not. Manasseh led them astray to do the thing that was wicked more than the nations. Oh, wait a minute. What a statement. More than the nations.
The Canaanites.
So the land vomited them out because of their wickedness. Yahweh gave this land to the sons of Israel because of their wickedness. Now, Israel, Judah, you know, the 10 tribes are already gone. Judah, the last two tribes, are more wicked than the people they drove out. Boy, oh boy, that's the church. Yeah, more than the nations which Yahweh destroyed from before the sons of Israel. Yahweh therefore spake through his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, had made these abominations, had done that which is wicked, more than all which the Amorites did who were before him, and had caused even Judah's sin with his manufactured gods. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold me bringing in calamity upon Jerusalem and Judea, that whosoever heareth thereof, both his ears will tingle. Wow, that's a prophecy. Now we go to, and that's also in 2 Chronicles 3, 3, 9. Now we go to Josiah, chapter 23, his grandson. And what chapter? Chapter 23, same book.
23?
Yeah, just next page. And the king took his stand by the pillar and solemnized a covenant before Yahweh to follow Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with their soul to confirm the words of this covenant written in the book. And then all the people took their stand in the covenant. Now we go to 25-27. And he dies. You know, he does a great job. He gets killed in battle. And like him was no king before him who turned unto Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him rose one like him. Howbeit, Yahweh turned not away from the glow of his great anger, wherewith his anger glowed. You know, this is a great illustration. And the word angle, the Hebrew word, I forget what that was. It's the flaring of the nostrils. So it's the nostrils flaring. And you can see that especially on a horse, when a horse is upset. Yeah, it'll start. So this is a glowing flare of the nostrils. Man, oh man. Because of all the provocation wherewith Manasseh had provoked him, so Yahweh said, even Judah will I remove from my presence as I removed Israel. Who removed Israel?
Yahweh.
The king of Assyria? No. Yahweh. All right, he took away their barrier. And now he's going to do it from Judah. And he's going to have a guy named, a servant called Nebuchadnezzar, do it. Do his will. And will reject the city which I have chosen, even Jerusalem, and the house as to which I have said my name shall be there. Wow. So now we start looking at the good guy is in Daniel. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. Let me see here. Okay, we're going to 24, chapter 24.
Second Chronicles, right?
No, we're going to... No. It's 2 Kings 24, 1 through 4. Just next page. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see there's whole books on Jeremiah. And the whole book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah pleading with the inhabitants to follow Yahweh. And Ezekiel is the same way. In his days came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then turned he rebelled against him, and Yahweh sent against him troops of Chaldeans and troops of Syrians and troops of Moabites and troops of sons of Ammon. Who sent him?
Yahweh did.
Yeah, he sent them against Judah to destroy him according to the word of Yahweh which he spake through his servants the prophets. Surely it was because of the anger of Yahweh that this came upon Judah to remove them from his presence for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he had done. Moreover also for the innocent blood that he has shed, so that he hath filled Jerusalem with innocent blood which Yahweh was not willing to pardon. Wow, okay. Now we're going to start looking into this servant.
Yahweh's.
Yeah.
Really kicked off.
Let's go to Daniel. Let's go to the first place. Let's into. Let's see. Jeremiah. Then we're going to go to Daniel. But we're going to say where Yahweh calls him my servant. Uh, 25:9. Behold me, sending and fetching all the families of the north, declareth Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. I will bring them in against this land, and against its inhabitants, and against all these nations round about. And I will devote them to destruction, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and an age of abiding desolation. So Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, so who is Yahweh's doing Yahweh's will? It's Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see that in Daniel 2. You got to think about that. You know, he didn't kill Daniel. He
promoted him.
Yeah, he actually, he's got him.
Judah puts Jeremiah in the pit.
And we saw that with, the king of Persia. We saw that with Pharaoh. Pharaoh promoted Joseph. Persian, Cambyses promoted, Esther, Mordecai, and Nehemiah. Yeah, so Nehemiah, so all these were people he promoted. These other kings were promoted. Because their favor was upon them. Yahweh's favor was upon them. So Daniel 2, 46-49. So we know Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. So Daniel's going to interpret the dream. Here's the result. And King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, and unto Daniel paid adoration, and a present and sweet odors gave he word to pour upon him. You got to turn that fan off, but it's going to run on the microphone. Can't have it on.
You can keep going.
No, I can't. Sorry. The king answered Daniel and said, of a truth, your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou wast able to reveal this secret. Then the king exalted Daniel, and many large presents gave he unto him, and set him to be ruler of all the province of Babylon, and the chief of the nobles, moreover all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel desired the king, and he appointed over the business of the province of Babylon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel himself was in the gate of the king. Huh. You know, I think Donald Trump's kind of similar to this as a Nebuchadnezzar servant. It's interesting. He's fighting for Israel, and you know what the Roman Catholic Pope said about Israel? Well, they should kind of leave Hamas alone, the Palestinians alone. That's the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church.
Siding with
Hamas,
Islam.
Palestinians, murdered brutally Israelis, and the Roman Catholic, the Roman Catholic religion is actually siding with
Islam,
and went into Lebanon, which is an Islamic stronghold. In the Lebanon, there's Catholics there, but there never says a word. So these are good illustrations of the Roman Catholic Church compared to Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is like a Nebuchadnezzar. Let's go now to, I read that. But there is, he's honoring Yahweh, the God of Daniel. Now let's go to Jeremiah 25. Remember, Jeremiah is in Judah when this happens. Jeremiah began his reign with Josiah and was through all the captivity. And then if you get to read the book of Lamentations, you see how disastrous the siege was on Jerusalem, where people were eating their children. And Yahweh warned him back in Deuteronomy, if you go against me, here's what you're going to do. And so it's all been forecast. You must obey Yahweh. If you don't, here's the consequences. And in the book of Lamentation, which Jeremiah was in this place, in the siege, and as interesting, you know, it's kind of jumped to this decision. So Jeremiah is in the Holy Land, and what do they want to do with him?
Kill him.
Kill him. All right. Wow. And what does Nebuchadnezzar do to Jeremiah after they conquer? He exalts him. So here's Yahweh's prophet. So remember, when Nebuchadnezzar is coming against Israel, Judah, or Jerusalem, who's advising him? Well, Daniel. Daniel is still there, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there. These are ruling Babylon. These are the good guys. So Babylon, and this is the bad place, because Yahweh says, we're gonna vomit you out. And so you have to look at it. Just because there's a building and people are saying one thing, you must look at the records if they're doing what is written. And we can see that with, you know, the history of the Catholic Church so much of it. God, the paganism and the praying to saints. And that is today, too. A lot of times they'll pray to Mary. They'll pray to saints. I've been at a football game where they play to Father Capon. Pray for us sinners. Yeah, you're like, oh, pray to Mary. These are all acts of idolatry. And obviously we got in the Protestant church, too, which you got the Trinity. You got three gods right out there in front. I mean, what's different than that than Manasseh? So Manasseh made gods. Aaron made gods. And the Christian fathers, what they call the church fathers, made gods too. Made two more gods. Just like Jeroboam did. Jeroboam made two gods. So this is old news. But we go to Jeremiah 25, 1 through 9. But we're going to see he's trying to help them. Yahweh's trying to help them because he's speaking for Yahweh. 1 through 9. The word which came unto Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, the same was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which word Jeremiah the prophet spake concerning all the people of Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, the which is the 23rd year, hath the word of Yahweh come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, betimes speaking, yet have you not hearkened. Yahweh is speaking to us through his word and through people who teach his words accurately. And people don't want to hearken. You know, speak in tongues. No. I would that you all speak in tongues. No. We're not going to speak in tongues. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ, Yahushua. No. There's three gods. And he is the God-man. And Yahweh sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, betimes sinning, though you hearken not, neither inclined your ear to hear, saying, return, I pray you, from every one of his wicked ways and from the wickedness of your doing. So shall you remain on the soil which Yahweh hath given to you and your fathers, even from age to age. You give him a chance. If you turn, you're not going to be kicked out. But do not go away after other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. So shall you not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not bring calamity upon you. Howbeit you hearken not unto me, declareth Yahweh, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands unto your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold me sending and fetching all the families of the north, declareth Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, I will bring him in against his land and against his inhabitants, against all these nations round about. And I will devote them to destruction and make them an astonishment and a hissing and an age of fighting desolation. Wow. Pleading and pleading and pleading. You go to Jeremiah 52. This is Zedekiah. He's at the end. So you had Jehoiakim 11 years, and you have like 3 months, and then you have Zechariah 11 years. So 52, 1 through 3. See? Telling the story. Mm-hmm. Okay, 21 years old was Zedekiah when he began to reign, and 11 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was good in the eyes of Yahweh. Wicked. It's just, oh, why? And you're going to, if you read the account, we don't have time to do that, but Jeremiah is pleading with him, and he's asking for a word of Yahweh, and he gives him the word and says, surrender this thing and you will have your life. But he was afraid of the people.
The princes.
And so he would not do it because of the people. No different than Aharon.
Right.
Yeah, afraid of the people. No different than today's pastors, afraid of the people, being fired. If you didn't start your own church, you can be fired. Even if you started your own church, if you reproved the tithers, they might not come back. And you might have to close your church. All right? So be it. I mean, who are you serving? Now you have chosen to serve men. Primary, secondary, Yahweh. So it's not Yahweh, and that's what these people were doing too. Verse 2, and he did that which was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For it was because the anger of Yahweh had come against Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon.
So who's he really rebelling?
Now we go to verse 10 and 11. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Moreover, also, so who looks like the bad guy? Nebuchadnezzar. No. He's Yahweh's servant. Zedekiah is Yahweh's enemy. The people in Israel, the princes, are Yahweh's enemies. Yeah. Daniel in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon are the good guys. 10, and the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Moreover, also the princes of Judah slew he in Riblah. There the princes died too. And the eyes of Zedekiah put he out and bound him with fetters of bronze. And the king of Babylon took him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. The consequences. He's doing Yahweh's will. So, okay. Now Israel scattered every place now. They've lost everything. But Jeremiah says, you're in timeout for how many years?
70.
Oh, 70.
You're in timeout. He says, okay. So when things look really bleak, we've lost. No, Yahweh, if people will get their act back together, the power will come back. The favor will come back. But he says, 70 years, that's more than one generation. Make yourself comfortable. Build houses. Buy farms, plant stuff, because this is not going to be a 2 years or 3 years.
That's one generation.
Yeah. It's a whole generation gone. That's 7 years. And so most people should say, did we actually blow it? Look what we had, and look what Jeremiah said, and we did exactly what the 10 tribes did, and now we're prisoners in a foreign land. And obviously you can't do Sabbath, you can't do the three feast days in Jerusalem. You know, you can't do, you know, all the offerings. You think of all the tithe, everything else, it's all gone. You got 70 years. So you think, okay, let's drill this in. Do what Yahweh says according to his book. 7 years later, that's what happens in Nehemiah chapter 13.
How many years later?
70. Approximately 70 plus. And that's page 492. Look at this. 17:23-27. Moreover, in those days, now they're back in Jerusalem. They have rebuilt the walls that were torn down. They're inhabiting Jerusalem.
The king gave them money to do that.
Yeah.
Too.
They rebuilt the temple. So things are looking really good. The king of Persia, through Cyrus, financed it. So let's learn from our mistakes. You know, it's like people in Venezuela or Cuba who wanted socialism. And what did they get? They got slavery. Mm-hmm. And you think people would learn, no, never say, we're going to take their property and give it to you. Do that for me. And what you do is you end up making the chains that now bind you. And that's right now, what's his name?
Maduro
right now. You got Castro did it. You got it all over. And you got now New York City who got a socialist mayor.
Communist.
Communist Muslim mayor in the city of New York. There's a Muslim Islamic mayor in England. Running London. Wow. Would people never learn? No, but we're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. So, 23, Mormon those days saw other Jews who had married women of Ashdod. We went to Ashdod. Remember our boat dock there. That's a Philistine. That's a harbor. Mm-hmm. The Philistine were the sea people. So they're always along the sea. Ashdod of Ammon of Moab and their children were one half speaking the language of Ashdod and said not how to speak the language of the Jews. And so today too, you got this young generation. It's Jesus. There's no Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
There's no even Jehovah. It's Jesus. You know, that's the new generation. Just like this. But after the tongue of both people, so I contend with them and laid a curse upon them and smote from among them certain men. They're gonna quit his church.
Hold their hair.
You can't build a church like that. Certain men and point out their hair. That doesn't go good in the church. And that's what people need to do today. And I put them on oath by Elohim, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take of their daughters for your sons, nor for yourself. Was it not over these things that Solomon, king of Israel, sent? Through among many nations, there was no king such as he, and he was beloved by his Elohim. And so Elohim gave him to be king over all Israel. Even him did foreign women cause to sin. Now you got pastors allowing sodomites coming into their church, which they call gay. You know, nothing gay about it. They're sodomites allowed in their church. Well, I'm not going to, let's just convert them. Abortionists, who was the guy who was murdered?
Killer,
what's his first
name? George Tiller.
Yeah, George Tiller. He would do partial birth abortions like in the eighth month. And where did they kill him? In a Lutheran church. The guy came in a Lutheran church and shot him. What is George Tiller doing in a Lutheran church? There it goes, guys. It's right there. And to you then shall we hearken to do all this great wickedness to act unfaithfully with our God by marrying foreign wives. And so they corrected that. Let's go to Nehemiah 4:34-37. I forgot why I didn't put that out here. Might not.
34, I think.
4:34-37. Well, no, that's not right. There is no 37. Okay.
We're adding words to the Bible.
So, with history, we need to learn the lessons. So Yahweh's given us the lessons. I've done this before. I don't want to be the naysayer, but I guess I must be. To reprove people, to say, our God is Yahweh. So we've been raised in a situation that's polluted. We praise Yahweh, we have some word. You know, we have the King James Bible or things like that, but we're raised with our parents and in the church with polytheism. We have three gods. And we're going to say, they're not three gods. There's one God in three persons, you know, or whatever. Three persons and one God. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We're not speaking in tongues. We're not interpreting. We're not prophesying. The gift that was given to us has gone out. The flame has gone out because it's not exercised. It's not even, they're told that you can't even have it. Then you go into the Catholic Church. You're praying to Mary. You're praying to saints. Other people are alive because people are alive in heaven too. And so if people are alive in heaven, well, why not pray to Mary? And let's pray to Joseph because he is the stepfather of Yahushua. He can put a good word in for me. You know, I mean, let's pray to Abraham. Hey, I'm a child of Abraham. He's there too. And so all this stuff is what the church teaches. Well, no, you can't pray to them. Well, they're alive, aren't they? They're in heaven, aren't they? Yes. Okay, they're with Jesus, right? Yes. What could it hurt? They'd have to go, look what you have created. Look what you created. No, the dead are all dead. Abraham's dead. Everybody's waiting the resurrection from among the dead. Real simple. But that is gone, you know. So we got all the paganism that goes on. But let's learn from this, and we'll end this with a prophecy and hear from our Heavenly Father. On that good note. I feel so much better now. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant. I think Donald Trump has been called to be a savior.
You think?
Well, yeah, automatically, because we have people like Gideon, all through the book of Judges, people called out to Yahweh, and he sent them what they call saviors. And they are the most, not the most righteous or anything else, but they obeyed Yahweh. So if anybody looks at the history of what has happened to Donald Trump, you will see he's been called, and he's a savior, and he is fighting the good fight against the wickedness that's in the United States and in the world. And there, obviously there's other people who have been, you know, great, we've got great saviors out there. You know, people have done that. And actually, Charlie Kirk, you know, what a great individual, saving people, trying to help the young people. And, you know, and they hate that, so they murdered him, assassinated him. But let's hear from our Father. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Be at peace and know that in peace is my will. Anxiety does not come from me. Anxiety of no sort do I propagate. So know that peace is where I signal to you and give you information. If you're not at peace, it's not my will. So seek my peace, and I will guide your footsteps as you ask, and be patient, for many times the information is not, you're not ready for the information at this particular time, but keep seeking and you will come. See you next week.
Amen.